You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
You know, people will put limits on what they can forgive. Now, listen, I can't forgive that. Now, I'm just telling you, you just crossed the line. Now, that I will never forgive. And some of us sitting right here, we got folks here, they're going to be, but now I will never forgive that. But God forgave all our trespasses. Come, he forgave you for your dumb days. How many of y'all had dumb days? How many of y'all too dumb to realize you in your dumb days right now? We all had dumb days, made dumb decisions. Just go look back at your old girlfriends and boyfriends on Facebook. You're like, what was I thinking? Oh, God forgave you when you were for going with that ugly woman. With that no good, busted, loser guy. God forgave you. Now forgive yourself. Let it go. Give us our dumb decisions and dumb past and things that we did that we know we weren't. I mean, there's some people, sometimes we do things in ignorance, but everybody wasn't ignorant. You know, there were some things I told my kids, listen, you're not ignorant, you're just in rebellion. See, when you're ignorant, you do, but you don't know. You're doing wrong, but you don't know it's wrong. When you're rebellious, I know it's wrong, and I know right, but I'm going to do it anyway. And sometimes people do rebellious stuff because they're just mad. I was watching, what was that? What was that on Bishop Jake's movie, like Pride, and nephew, Tommy Miles, I believe his name, right? Nephew Tommy had this character he was playing, and who's mama? It was right on the name, but Stephanie Mills. And Stephanie Mills was a mother, and he started talking about the reason why he did something. He said, you only noticed me when I was doing bad things. Sometimes people do rebellious stuff to get notice, to get attention. And regardless of why we were in trespassing, I want to let you know, Jesus died for all your trespassing. Watch this, for the rebellious ones and the ignorant ones. Thirdly, I want you to understand that God raised us up so we can raise others up. Now, a lot of us, we know the first part, but some of us, that's as far as we go. And I want to let you know that your Christianity and the purpose for God saving you is not completed until you live your life in a way that says, I want other people also to be resurrected. Now, I know y'all don't hear this today, because most preaching today in the church is about you getting yours and forgetting about everybody else. Forget your haters. You know, let the haters fall by the wayside. Live for you. Don't care what nobody else think. Don't care what anybody else. That's, no, I'm telling y'all, that's not even biblical. As much as you hear that and hear great preachers telling you, just live your life for you and don't think about anybody else, that is not biblical. What do you mean that's not biblical? When Jesus says stuff like, let your light shine, that men may see your good works and glorify the Father. He didn't say, live your way, don't care what other people think. He said, no, shine in a way that you stand out. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Okay? You know, I realized something. I grew up hearing this song in church. We used to sing on it. Jesus is the light. Light of the world. And you heard that song? Jesus is the light. Light of the world. Oh, Jesus is the light. Light of the world. He's ever shining in my soul. That sounds real good. And then I read the scripture. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus is no longer the light of the world. We're supposed to be the light of the world. And then Isaiah tells us that in the last days, when everybody's trying to convince you and we walk around all confused because you don't know what to call people. confused, they want to make you confused. I don't know. Yeah. Him. I saw this. Some, this guy. This. See? Right there. This person is going off on somebody, a counter person. He said, I told you, don't call me sir. I'm a ma'am. He said, sir, I didn't call you. There you go again. Don't call me sir. It's ma'am. And the guy says, he said, I was talking to everyone. And so he said, sir, can you just calm down? I told you. Then he started cussing like Peter. And no matter what's going on in the world, our light's still supposed to shine. Amen. We're not supposed to blend in. We're supposed to stand out. I'm going to keep telling y'all. I know folks ain't telling you this. I'm going to keep telling you. God raised us up so we can raise others up. 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Here we go. And he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So when God raised us up, he raised us up so we can help people keep getting resurrected. So we can help other people get up. But you can't help them get up if it looks like you down there with them. We're supposed to live resurrected lives. Come on now. We're supposed to look like we resurrected. We're supposed to act like we're resurrected. 2 Corinthians 5:18, I just read it, but now from the New Living Translation. It says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Now, I know I'm challenging this, especially our younger people today, because, see, I came along at a time when you got saved, they made you witness. Oh, yeah, okay. We're going out witnessing Saturday. We want everyone to be here. We're getting tracks. We're going door to door. You're like, oh, Jesus. And you're up there thinking about how you act when the Jehovah's Witness came to your house. Like, I don't want people slamming the door on me like that. When Pastor Marcia first got saved, she was home with Chandler and our kids by herself and with the kids. And Jehovah's Witness used to come by. She's invited them in. She invited them in and sat down. When she got finished sitting down with them, they said, we got to go. She said she looked out one day and they were walking by and they were telling her, By the time she got finished, they wasn't messing with her anymore. You need to know what you believe. You need to have an answer. Instead, you there running. Lord, Jehovah Witness, Jesus. Hide the wife, hide the kids. No, you need to know what you believe. That's why you got to study the word. That's why you need teaching. Come on now. He said, God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Let me say some more about this. So the church today, I want you to catch this. So what has happened, especially, it became all the more heightened during the heightened awareness of Black Lives Matter. And we start seeing the social injustices and all that. And really, unfortunately, a line was drawn down, even among the church, between churches who would dare to understand. Churches who, yeah, be careful walking up, and I'm from Jersey City. I've been in Harlem for a couple weeks. I got eyes behind my head. You ain't creeping up on me. What was I saying? There's been this dividing line between, and it shouldn't be, between evangelical Christians and non-evangelical Christians. We hear evangelical and we think Republican, right-wing, white. Amen. Can I tell you, that's an American thing. Has nothing to do with the gospel, has nothing to do with the Bible. We're all supposed to be evangelicals. And you can't turn yourself white. And you might not vote Republican, but we're all supposed to be evangelical. The word evangel means good news. We're all supposed to be carriers of the good news. The carriers of the good news is that Jesus died and was resurrected, and he's opened up the door for everybody to be saved. We're all supposed to be sharing the same message. We're all supposed to be trying to reconcile people to Jesus, regardless of your political persuasion. I want y'all to understand that. And it's so unfortunate. If you go to Africa, you ain't going to hear about the evangelical and non-evangelical church. You hear about the church. And so God has given us all the ministry of reconciliation. We've been raised up so we can raise other people up. Now, Jesus prophesied about Peter's spiritual resurrection. In Luke 22, Jesus tells Peter, he tells Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, no, not so, Lord. No way. I will die for you. I'll go all the way. I decide to make Jesus my choice. No turning back. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And that with the mighty burning fire. And I got a mind to run on and see what the end gonna be. In these last and evil days, pray my strength in the Lord. Jesus like, please, Peter. Before the cock crow, you're gonna deny me three times. And the third time, you're gonna cuss so bad they're gonna believe you really don't know me. And that's what he did. They said, your speech betrays you. They said, your clothes betray you. Somebody said, but you sound like him. So he said, well, blankety blank, the blank, the blank, beep, 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 beep. Do I sound like him now? They said, oh, no, you don't know Jesus. And then Jesus says in Luke 22, verse 31, he says to Peter, Simon, 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 indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Can I tell you, first of all, it is a compliment if Satan has asked for you. That means even the devil recognizes you got some good stuff in you. You can be effective in the kingdom. It's about which kingdom you want to be effective in. You can bring people to Jesus, or you can take people deep in sin. Come on now. You can lead people to Jesus, or you can lead people to drugs. You can lead people to Jesus, or you can lead people in all type of other debauchery. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you. When you, some of y'all, you know, we got to, so I remember doing that when I was a kid, helping my mother in the kitchen, had this thing you sift and you put the flour in there, and I don't know what he was doing, but the good stuff's supposed to come out, and you kind of screen it and filter it. Satan, he wants to sift you. He wants to take all the good out of you and use it for his glory. But verse 32 says, but I have prayed for you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I thank God for people praying for me. I know my wife prays for me. Glory to God. I believe my children pray. If y'all pray for me, I pray for y'all. Okay? I believe we have people here in the church pray. I'm your pastor. Y'all pray for me. I pray for y'all. Amen? But it's good to know that people pray for us. But Jesus said, I prayed for you. Oh, my God. The greatest intercessor is Jesus himself. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. The greatest intercessor, the high priest, tells Peter, I have prayed for you. And what I prayed for you, Peter, is that your faith don't fail. If Jesus has prayed that our faith don't fail, then our faith don't have to fail. Listen to me. Your money may fail. Don't let your faith fail. Your marriage may fail. Don't let your faith fail. Oh, my God. Your business may fail, but don't let the faith fail. Banks may fail, but don't let your faith fail. The economy may fail, but don't let your faith fail. I don't care what you're going through. Don't let your faith fail. If you lose everything, hold on to your faith, because if you lost a car, your faith can get you a better car. Come on now. If you lost a house, your faith can get you a better house. If you lost a marriage, God can restore you and give you a greater future. I don't care what you lose. Hold on to your faith. And then he says to Peter, Luke 22 and verse 30, when you returned, King James said, when you've been converted, when you turn, when you change, when you've come back, it's not just about you, Peter, strengthen your brethren. God raised you up to to raise somebody else up. God saved you to get somebody else saved. God picked you up so you could help pick somebody else up. God turned things around in your life so you can help somebody else get things turned around in your life. So when you get out of debt, help somebody else out of debt. So when you get a house, help somebody else know how to get a house. So when you pay all your children, your loans off, help somebody else pay their loans off. So when you just sent your children to school debt free, help somebody else send their children debt free. My God, when God does for you, strengthen your brethren. It's bigger than you. Look at somebody in your row, tell them it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. We got to get over this selfishness in the body of Christ about me and my house, me and my two kids, us four, no more. No, God raised you up so you can raise somebody else up. It's not just about what's best for you. It's about what's best for the kingdom. How many military or ex-military people have here? Military veterans, as much as you went and they convinced you to come into the military for the GI Bill and told you about all the benefits. They brought you into the military and accepted you so you can defend the interests of this country. That's what it's all about. You getting your GI Bill is a byproduct of it. The end goal is that we need you where we need you because we never know what's going to pop off. And we need people in the right place at the right time. Are y'all hearing me? That's why God saved you. He saved you to put you in the right place at the right time with the right people to change people's lives. That there's going to be an onslaught, from the kingdom of darkness. But I need to have people in position that when he tried to come this way, you're buying that way. That when he tried to come this way, you're buying that way. When he tried to come in the north, you take authority in the north. When he tries to come in the south, you take authority in the south. It's bigger than you. God needs people of God in position to do warfare. So before you just decide you're going to take off somewhere because of a job, because you want to take off somewhere because it pays more money, and you never ask God, where do you want me? Where am I supposed to be? Where is my assignment? When you return, Peter, strengthen your brethren. So, y'all, the resurrection is proof that there is a when. Jesus says to Peter, when you return, when you've been converted, strengthen your brethren. Jesus knew, Peter, you're going through. Peter, you're denying me right now. You acting like you don't know. You acting like somebody ain't spend no time with me. You act like somebody who hasn't seen any miracle. You act like somebody who hasn't read the scriptures. You are just so caught up in your circumstances. But Peter, I got faith. It ain't going to be like this always. Some of y'all are here today because just like Peter prayed for Jesus, your parents been praying for you. Oh my God. Your parents have been praying for you. The resurrection proof that there's a win. Now listen to this. Listen to that verse, or verses from the Message translation. It says, Luke 22, 31 and 32 from the Message translation, it says, Simon, stay on your toes. Stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from the wheat. But Simon, I want you to catch it. I pray for you in particular that you not give in or give out. Some of you are here today despite all of your living or non-living, despite your rebellion, because your mother has called you out by name, because your father has called you out by name. I can't tell you all the prayer requests that I had in that yellow folder on Friday night. People who are asking me, Bishop, pray for my daughter by name, and gave me their name. Pray for my sister by name. Pray for my father by name. Pray for my mother by name. Pray for my co-worker by name. There are people who are calling your name out to God, even though you're not thinking about God. Thank God that somebody is calling out your name. Somebody said a song and said, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me, and I'm so glad they prayed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When I got ready to pledge my fraternity in college, Mother Bailey, when she was so concerned about me. Oh, she said, oh, Lord Jesus. She said, I'm praying for you. She said, before your, and boy, she really tried to make me feel convicted. She said, before your mother died, your mother said to me, Bertha, keep them from getting with the wrong people. Keep them from getting with the wrong people. So when I said, Mother Ben, my own birthday, I know you ain't gonna understand. But he really didn't. I said, but the Lord said, the Lord. I said, I know you don't understand. Because I was a young man, I preached against fraternity and sorority, and to some degree I still do today. Because you need to know yourself. Okay? Now, seriously, I was telling my wife, I got something the other day, Alpha Phi Alpha, a couple years ago, last year, they were doing this big thing during the pandemic. They're going to put this book out and put all these biographies together and all this stuff. And I just finally got mine with the picture and all this stuff. And it gave my biography. And I was listening to the stories of different brothers. And I was hearing some stuff that my fraternity didn't do for me. They said, you know, Alpha Phi Alpha, it made me know who I am. Well, I knew who I was. It gave, watch it, Alpha Phi Alpha gave me a sense of purpose in life. I already had purpose in life. And so I have to honestly say, fraternity didn't do none of that for me. And when God told me to do it, I didn't fully understand. But and the greatest thing that happened for me through Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, I met my wife. I never would have been on her campus otherwise. And I know God told me to marry her, and he definitely told her to marry me, because next to Jesus, I'm the best thing that ever happened to her. So that's why I'm hesitant. I can't tell people, don't pledge, don't get involved, because I did, and it sounds so hypocritical. And I have not renounced, because I don't have nothing to renounce. But some of y'all, you got in too deep. It changed your personality. It changed who you are. You don't drink unless you're with your sorority sisters. Oh, I'm going deep here now. But God wants you to be resurrected. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. He said, I prayed for you. And she said to me, but she said, you go ahead and do that. But I won't let you know. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And I have to be honest with y'all. Those couple semesters, it happened after I pledged. But thank God Aunt Bertha was praying for me. I didn't go deep down, go deep down the dark alpha hole and have to find my way to the light. Are y'all hearing me? Aren't you glad that the people prayed for you? Some of us, we were on a wrong track, making bad decisions, but somebody prayed for you. And Jesus tells Peter, I pray for you by name. He said, when you win, here's what I want you to see. When you come through your time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start. Some of you are here today on this Resurrection Sunday because this is your Sunday to get a fresh start. Some of you here, despite everything you've been through, despite it looked like you rejected God, despite it looked like you were never raised in a church, despite the fact that it looks like you didn't come from a Christian family, you are here today because somebody's been praying for you by name, and God is sending a word to you saying, just as I raised Jesus up, this is my day to raise you up, and I'm raising you up so you can get somebody else out. I'm raising you up so you can raise somebody else up. I'm strengthening you so you can strengthen somebody else. So when Jesus got up, as I close this out today, when Jesus got up, y'all, we got up with him. Look to your neighbor, say, make sure you get up with him. 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 You know, for years, I used to feel bad when my wife got up so early. Okay? And then I realized I can't keep up with this woman. But when she got up, I just felt like I'm supposed to be up. Sometimes, even if I wasn't up, she'd walk in the room on there. Just meditating. Just looking to the realm of the spirit. When Jesus got up, he wants you to get up with him. Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. Paul says, I want you to fully understand, get more revelation about the resurrection. He said, I want the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I want you to know what God did for you when he saved you. He said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. He said, if you believe, you'll see God's power in your life. If you believe, you'll see God deliver you. If you believe, you see God raise you up to another level. If you believe, you can live a life of prosperity. If you believe, you can live a life of peace. According to the greatness of his power, of us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power. What mighty power? Which he worked in Christ. when he raised him from the dead. He's letting us know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can change your life. Whether you came from the hood, whether you came from a bougie neighborhood, whether your parents had a degree or had no education, whether you could, no matter what your economic status is, what your educational status is, he wants you to know that God's power can be seen in your life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in heavenly places, he put him far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22, look at it. He put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The scripture is telling us that God raised Jesus up in the resurrection, and he's the head of the body. He's the head of the body. We are the body. He's the head. Come on. The body is not detached from the head. Jesus is the head. We are the body. Jesus is not even the feet. Jesus is not even the arms of the body. Jesus is the head of the body. We're of his arm. We're of his leg. We're of his feet. And if he put all things under his feet, that means when God raised Jesus up, he put all things under our feet. You don't have to be sick. Sickness is under your feet. You don't have to be depressed. Depression is under your feet. You don't have to be in poverty. Poverty is under your feet. You don't have to be down. Low-level living is under your feet. When God raised Jesus up, he raised you up. He said, but you got to have a revelation of the resurrection. You have to recognize that this has been a double resurrection. Somebody say it's been a double resurrection. So the resurrection, y'all, is proof that you can live a new life. Somebody say, I'm about to live a new life. Oh, my God. The Bible says that we were buried with him through baptism. Likewise, we've been raised with him to the glory of the Father. And that's why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's no longer me who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm no longer living for myself. I'm no longer living by myself. It's in him that I live. It's in him that I move. It's in him that I have my being. Looking for purpose. My purpose is to serve him. You don't go to college to find purpose. You come to Jesus to find purpose. Then he tells you if you're supposed to go to college and what you're supposed to major in. So you don't have $50,000 or $100,000 in student loans for a degree that you're mad you got. Right in this section, right over here. Somebody, a couple over there too. Man, one time I couldn't pay those student loans and they was harassing me. I'm like, can I just mail a degree back to you? This is long before Biden told me, if I just mail this degree back, will you cancel these loans? I want to let you know, on this Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus got up, he raised you up. And it's not just spiritual. It took place in the realm of the spirit. It's faith in the spiritual. But it shows up in very tangible lives and tangible ways in our lives. So because you've been, I tell people all the time, the life I live is a supernatural life. Because God raised me up. Now, there's other people been raised up just like me, but they don't have the revelation of the resurrection. They don't have the revelation of the resurrection. They think the resurrection was just about Jesus getting up. When you understand the resurrection wasn't just about Jesus getting up, it's a double resurrection. The devil can't hold you down. Racism can't hold you down. Sexism can't hold you down. Ageism can't hold you down. Discrimination regarding North and South and geographic and demographic, that can't hold you back. I've been raised to sit up in heavenly places. As long as Jesus is sitting on the throne, I can dominate in life. Let me say it again. As long as Jesus is sitting on the throne, I can dominate in life. When you get that revelation, no devil in hell can hinder your life. Stand with me today. I want you to know on this Resurrection Sunday, God wants you raised up. And some of you, several of you, many of you are living beneath your privileges. God got so much more for you. He said, why are you living like that? I got so much for you.
If you love our podcast and the impartation you gain from it, we encourage you to become an iChurch member. As an iChurch member, you'll get access to exclusive digital content, as well as an online community and various small group sessions. To find out more, visit rdci.info/iChurch. Connect with us for digital impartation weekly. Join Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marsha Bailey on Clubhouse for Marriage, Faith, and Family inside Kingdom Business Network on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RDCITV. We stream live services on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Wednesday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, join us for Manifest on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time.